that you're okay. There's a sign in the window that he struck you.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking, but now God knows anything goes.
It's not unusual to find out I'm in love with you. Whoa, 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 whoa.
All right, welcome to episode 33 of Glee Chat, and we have a very fun episode to record tonight because we have a very special guest with us, the one and only Simone. Hey, Simone.
Hey, John.
How's it going?
It's pretty awesome. I'm here.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, so Simone was the highest donator for Roxanne's show choir fund, right, Roxanne?
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Simone.
So we have to get actually on that, Roxanne. I was just thinking about how I have to get some headshots done for the people that donated for you, because that was part of it.
Yes, you do.
And for Cody.
And for Cody for his game.
And
back
Jessica.
Episode 3.
For everybody.
You owe us.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been waiting.
Yeah. So obviously Cody, Jess, Mitch, and Roxanne are joining us, and... How is everybody? Cody, what's new with you?
Tonight I barreled through a thing of banana pudding, and I'm drinking cream soda, and I've got a bag of sour cream and onion chips next to me, so I'm good to go.
Okay, so it's a very exciting night for you, then.
It is an exciting night. This is these are things, like, if they – I would make them, like, my boyfriend if that wouldn't be sad.
Yeah, if that wasn't sad, I would be okay.
Like, if
with
I could update my Facebook relationship status, it would be like, Cody is in a relationship with sour cream and onion chips.
Sour cream and onion chips.
Who was my boyfriend? You never let it go.
That was good, Mitch. Good. Jess is here as well, but Jess, you're surviving a hurricane or something, I hear, or one's coming.
Yeah, we had a tropical storm over the weekend. So today it was back to sunny and sweltering. So
yeah.
It was Tropical Storm Beryl, which reminded me of, like, Barry, which reminded me of Rachel Berry.
Yeah, Tropical Storm Beryl.
Yeah.
It sounded like a Glee thing to me.
So I survived Tropical Storm Beryl. It was fun.
Congratulations. Natural disaster. Yeah. Mitch is also on the show. Hey, Mitch, how's it going?
Pretty good. I am just chilling, and we're not talking about Wisdom Teeth because people got pretty heated over that, so they're doing good in case you're wondering, but if you're not, then oh well, we don't need you then. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Just kidding.
Okay, I think I love one person's comment. After our very lengthy conversation about teeth on last episode, somebody said, I didn't know that I'm subscribed to Hypeable's Dental Chat. So there's just that to think about as we move forward. So yeah, and Roxanne, how are you doing? Everything's good with you. You're graduating.
Yes. Yes, finally. I had a bit of a puckish situation with that. So
good,
that all taken care of.
Good. So when do you actually graduate? When is your graduation?
June 14th.
Oh, my God.
That's a long time, yeah.
Oh, my God. I've been out of high school for 3 years. Oh, sorry.
A lot of people graduate in May, I've noticed, but yours is a little bit later.
Yeah, I don't know. Everyone has been saying that to me. But I usually
on the 22nd of May.
End in July. Not July. What am I saying? In June.
Yeah.
I don't know my months. I'm sorry.
Very good. And so, Simone, why don't we sort of hear a little bit more about you, where you're from, what you're interested in, how old you are, things of that nature, because we know that you've been a big fan of the show since its inception way back in, like, September, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've been friends with episode 1. It's really amazing. My name's Simone, obviously.
Right.
I'm 19. And back in 2009, some friends of mine, we just saw the ads for Glee and thought it would be cool to check out. So we had a girls' night in and watched it. And I didn't know I'd become obsessive about it, but it wound up here.
Yeah. Very good. Awesome. Well, we're very excited to have you on the show. And obviously, I'm sure Roxanne is very thankful for your donation to her show choir to help make that a reality for her. So,
extremely.
But I'm sure Roxanne could say that. I was just sort of leading her into it. But anyways.
I'm extremely thankful.
Very good. Okay. Awesome. So welcome, Simone. And so for today's episode, we're obviously not going to be rehashing a new episode of Glee because season 3 just ended last week. And, you know, we were wondering, you know, everybody sort of had a very sort of either very polarizing reaction. People were either really happy and excited about everything that went down in the finale, or people really kind of hated it. And the fandom in general seemed to really particularly not like it. So we spent a lot of time kind of cutting up the season finale last week. So we're going to talk about season 3 in general. So try to remove, and this is just for everybody listening, and I guess for those of us on the show tonight, try to remove the taste of the season finale from your mind. And let's just talk about season 3 in general. So first, let's talk about what we loved about season 3. So basically, each of us have some things that we wanted to talk about what we loved and what we didn't like. But we're going to start off here with what we loved. And Jessica, I thought you had a really cool mentioning here, because you said you really liked the Kurt and Rachel friendship. What mm-hmm. do you want to elaborate a little bit about that?
Yeah, I just loved seeing them develop. I mean, it started at the end of last season when he went to Dalton, but to get to see just because they really, it makes sense for the two of them to be friends. And so just to see that budding friendship and just how much they love each other, genuinely loved each other. And as it went along, and you know, they still had fights and their ups and downs, but to see like this very real friendship develop, I loved it. It was nice to see a friendship that was genuine and true, that didn't like, you know, it wasn't full of backstabbing. I mean, there was some, but you know, not like with a lot of the other relationships.
So you could almost say that they sort of matured. I mean, when we look back to season 1 and the sort of back and forth Kurt and Rachel had, and we look at it now, you can sort of see this evolution of that particular, those two.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I just really, really liked it. I liked their friendship. I loved their relationship together.
Cool. Cody, you had a sort of similar reaction. You said that you really liked Santana and Mike's storylines because they finally came into their own.
Yeah, I thought they really got some screen time this season.
Yeah,
Santana's had screen, you know, she's had screen time before, but it's always been to kind of like be the anti-hero. And this season, she got to have a really good storyline, and she just added to the hundreds of gay kids in Lima, Ohio, apparently. And that was exciting for me, but I thought it was really touching, and she still remained sassy, but she was human to me finally. And I really liked that. And of course, everything about Mike this season was just really good. And I was really glad that he got his time on screen and that we got to figure out what he was going to do with his life. And the father storyline was good. And then, of course, they sent him off in 5 seconds in the last episode. So,
that was upsetting. Well, you know, that's a funny point because I think, you know, Asian F was being hyped up, if you guys remember, as one of the, you know, biggest episodes of the season. It'll be one of the best episodes ever of Glee.
And it was episode 2.
Yeah, exactly. Of the season. Right. And I think back to that moment in that episode when Mike and his mom were dancing and there was just sort of like the music playing in the background. I thought that was one of the most beautiful images of the season. So I really like that you brought up Mike's storyline because that was definitely important. And off of the Santana thing, Mitch, you said that you liked the Santana and Sebastian duet to Smooth Criminal.
I did. I liked it so much that I had to include it in our intro for our show because seriously, that song kicks $$$. Love it. Because it felt like it was like a love letter to the fans who, you know, always want more Santana. And we want to see like her at her baddest. And that's when she is. And that's such a cool song too. I like how they took, I'm not sure the band. I'll look it up.
It's called Two Cellos.
Two Cellos is the band that covered it.
Yeah.
So that's a different version than the Michael Jackson song. And it just really, like, that song just stuck with me forever. It's so emotional, and the way they were dancing around, and she's in her suit and everything. Like, I just love seeing Sebastian and Santana, the two most bad $$$ going at it together. It was just the best scene of the season for me. I know it may seem weird, but I loved it.
Oh, no, totally. You know, and that kind of brings up a point that I think some people were sort of talking about after the finale was Sebastian kind of just faded and didn't really come back. You know, like he had his big moment there through the middle of the season, and we haven't heard anything from Sebastian since. So I wonder if they'll bring him back in season 4 in any capacity or if he's just sort of done with Glee. But it would be interesting to see. And, you know, Roxanne, you had some pretty interesting topics here. You said that I liked how they decided to explore more adult dramatic topics and the copious amounts of Blaine and how they did not get rid of the warblers. So do you want to elaborate a little bit about that? Which dramatic topic did you like the best this season?
I like the sex episode the best. And I don't think that's as dramatic, but yeah, it was adult and I liked it.
Yeah, it was a great, and, I think it's a great sort of transition from their sort of childhood into adulthood, right?
Yeah, like you could actually see the characters growing up, and they acted more like seniors this year, I thought, as opposed to high school students, because they're, like, exiting high school, so they'd obviously be up a bit more mature. And yeah, I like how they didn't just can the warblers when Blaine left Dalton. I was afraid that they'd just disappear, but they did a good job of keeping them in the, like, limelight, sort of.
Yeah, do you think that they'll have warblers next season, or do you suspect that with the all different area codes types of situation that the warblers are done?
No, they better. I really want Blaine to transfer back to Dalton.
Yeah, a lot of people have been saying that.
I don't know, just me.
Yeah. Simone, you had a sort of tie in here with Roxanne's favorite thing about season 3, and you said that you liked the depth that they added to Beast, Coach Beast, this season. What exactly was it that you liked about the depth and her whole scenario over the whole season?
There are some guest characters that I can't wait to see back of, but Dot Marie and Maxis, I just love them so much.
Yeah.
I love whenever she gets screen time and her dialogue is just so amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked
She's
about
really
how
good at being
Tom
emotional.
Yeah, we were talking about that a lot on the show, obviously, in the last couple of episodes. And, you know, Jess, I specifically remember you and I being like, oh my gosh, she's so good, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
yes,
I think,
love her.
I hope that Beast comes back in season 4. I hope that they don't sort of write her off, because she definitely has a connection, I think, to the fandom that surprised me, because whenever Beast first came onto the show, I was thinking, oh, she's very non-traditional, at least physically, and people will maybe sort of be put off by it, but the fandom seems to really have embraced her, and I think that's a great testament to the fandom and how open-minded they can be. You also mentioned Karofsky. Do you want to elaborate a little bit about that, Simone, and maybe where you hope to see him next, by any chance?
I think Karofsky's storyline was my favorite at a dramatic moment.
Yeah.
But All My Way was absolutely amazing. I love that they had the courage to go with that storyline.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's funny because Glee's going to be moving to a 9 o'clock time slot in the fall, so we might be seeing more of Karofsky and maybe the more seriousness of that whole situation. Because I've always wondered what would Glee be like if it were on HBO, you know, where there were just sort of no censorships and they could do whatever they wanted, and it would sort of be that dramatic comedy that we all kind of hope it will be, but it never quite hits there. So maybe with a new time slot, they'll take a little more risk and we'll see a lot more of Karofsky and his situation, because he's obviously a troubled character that obviously has a lot of layers, at least I think so. One of my favorite things about this season was my favorite scene of the entire season. I think at first I was thinking it was Mike and his mom sort of dancing around. I thought that was really beautiful. And then I thought to the scene in the finale when the three of them were opening their acceptance letters. And I thought that was just like such an awesome scene, because I think that's something that high school students would do. I think it really shows the connection that the three of them have together. And, you know, obviously it was such a very climactic part of the season and of the episode. So I really like that. And I also really liked the things that Blaine and Kurt got into this season. I think that, you know, we spent a lot of time debating whether or not Kurt's a good boyfriend and what all the situation is with that back and forth. But at the end of the day, as fans of the show, I think that we were meant to see Kurt and Blaine as a very strong strong relationship that will only be growing, I think, throughout the next season or so. But maybe we'll figure that out in the fall. So let's move on to some of the stuff we didn't love. Cody, speaking of Blaine and the Blaine Show, you say here that you didn't love it when Glee turned into the Blaine Show.
Yes, I did not.
Yes, I did not love it when it turned into English. I think there was a point in the season where Glee, at least from a lot of the fans' perspective, it felt like everybody just wanted more Blaine and more Blaine, and he got all the solos. And, you know, Blaine was a really interesting character. And then for season two, I loved him in season two. And then I felt like he just kind of got saturated. Like, there's so much Blaine. And it was all about Blaine, and everybody would just, what's going to happen with Blaine next week? And it got kind of old. I was just kind of tired, and I thought Blaine was a really interesting character, and I think they did all right with his character overall, especially when they started to make him more interesting instead of so perfect. That's when it got more interesting. But just from the fan perspective, it felt really overwhelming. Like, I was like, there are other people on this show, you know, and people who are much more interesting. So that was my least favorite part.
So instead of focusing on the Blaine show, you would hope that they would focus on, like, say, like, the whole cast evenly?
It just felt for a while that it was, like, everybody really liked Blaine, and then the writers responded to that by writing so much Blaine stuff and giving him so many solos, and then I got tired of Blaine, and then they kind of backed off towards the end of the season because they had to focus on everybody who was graduating, which is when I started to appreciate Blaine some more again, because I kind of liked him at the end.
Well, Roxanne, you had an interesting thing about what you didn't love. You said you didn't like the way that they dropped all the dramatic storylines that they created and didn't have really a follow through. Do you want to sort of emphasize which storylines you were talking about?
Karofsky, Quinn, the wedding.
Well, what about Quinn? What didn't happen?
They could have had a lot of really good episodes, I feel, surrounding Quinn's car accident. There was no immediate reaction to them finding out about the crash.
Like, oh, and the fact that wedding. Quinn didn't die like she should have.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yes. No, she should have.
Why do you think that, Cody?
Because I think, okay, here's what they did. They decided to have a really dramatic episode where they had the Karofsky thing and the Quinn thing happen. All right? I can understand one of them surviving. Perfect. And in the last episode, they gave Quinn the most beautiful send-off she could. She got her outfit back for the Cheerios. Everything in her life was going well. What a sensitive topic for them to have explored. Somebody dying their senior year of high school. And what a beautiful message it would have sent to everybody who likes to text and drive. Oh, yes, text and drive. You'll get hit by a car, but you'll get your walking back and a boyfriend. Like, I don't know. Like, they could have done so many wonderful things with that topic. And I feel like they just didn't do it. I was really upset.
Okay.
I think she should have died.
Good point.
I think that's a fair point. Yeah. I think there's something to be thought of with that. Roxanne, you said the Karofsky storyline was annoying for you as well. The way they didn't handle it.
I loved the Karofsky storyline.
No, I meant like the fact that
I didn't love the fact that as soon as he had the conversation with Kurt was going to help him, and then we never saw Karofsky again.
Yeah.
Unless we see him next season, I have never really liked the pacing of Glee.
Yeah,
because it's too fast. Too much happens at one time, and they move on too quickly.
I agree, and I think Karofsky, or rather Max Adler, who plays Karofsky, if I remember correctly, has just signed on to a new show starting in the fall. So
he's really excited about it. He's such an enthusiastic actor, so you knew he really he was committed to Karofsky, and that makes me feel like that's why he wanted to keep on coming on for like a little role in season one and two, and
sort
of have this explosion of a event, you know. But honestly, episode really affected me. Like, I remember talking to friends and I was just like, well, someone got into a car crash and someone tried to commit suicide. This was a pretty big episode of Glee. I don't think we're gonna forget this one. And then Cody, you're right, they kind of downplayed it when
they downplayed it by letting one of them. I mean, and it was good that Karofsky lived, because I mean, I think for, you know, to show that desperation in a gay kid was good. But then, you know, to completely have him end his life doesn't, you know, it. I mean, it sends a message, but I don't think it sends the right message. So I think having him live and that scene with Kurt was really inspirational. So I was glad he lived. Yeah, for sure.
I agree. My biggest qualm is if you're going to set up drama because you want me to buy into drama and you want me to feel like it's dramatic, at least give me the satisfaction of seeing the closure of the drama and how it plays out. Don't get me invested into something and then cut me off.
Like, I want to see Quinn getting out of there from the jaws of life or something, you know?
Yeah, I want to see reactions.
While singing a song, you know? Come on.
Well, let's think back to season two. I mean, did we see the same sort of continuity issues with season two or season one?
I don't think as much because
I don't think so.
So many crazy, dramatic storylines.
Yeah, that's a good point. Really
count... I think it's gotten worse each season.
I agree,
I think so too.
Can we count the one guy who was he was the chorus teacher before, and then I think Schuster got him fired or something.
Sandy Ryerson.
Right, Rachel got him fired for touching the student when he was trying to like just see how he was singing or something. Right.
No,
right.
He was touching him.
What do you think it was, Cody?
It was inappropriate.
No, that
yes.
was just Rachel trying to get him fired.
That's what I thought, Roxanne.
No.
Yeah,
no.
That was just a funny season one thing. I'm talking about making a season finale ending
or
a series cutoff thing and then just getting rid of it.
John, remind me to come back to that point when I come to another one about what Will Schuster did to Finn in season one, because that kind of connects to like this whole sabotage thing. But Cody, you think he really was just inappropriately touching the student, Sandy was?
Yeah,
and it just that storyline's gone. Period. We don't see him.
Yeah,
you think he fit out his storyline because he's like the only person.
He wasn't an important character. They just brought him back. Lulz. I mean, it wasn't like
he
was.
They brought him back last season for Night of Neglect.
What do you do, Night Neglect? I can't remember, Jess.
He was a part of the. Yeah, he was a part of the whatever what they call themselves, the Legion of Doom or something.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Right around when Rachel was doing Cabaret, right?
No, that's season one.
Oh shoot, wow, it's been so long. This is kind of cool though, John. I like doing this little wrap up. I'm sorry, I'm so off tangent. I don't know what the last point was.
It's okay. Well, Mitch, let's look what you said that you didn't love. You said anything from Will Schuster, especially how Finn didn't care about the whole pot storyline. And I have to agree, this was one of the things that I didn't love about the season. And I think it's because it was just their way of sort of tying up the loose end, but then like not even really, because I think that if Finn... I just feel like that shouldn't have been Finn's reaction. And like, I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Well, I agree, John, and obviously. but I think that just kind of fits along with the two other major things I can remember right off the top of my head of Glee doing before. And the other two are with Rachel. One was sending Sunshine to the crack house. What? The H-E double hockey sticks. Was she thinking? And sending a, like 15-year-old. I mean, you're gonna get her killed. So it just that was insane. And then they had that little confrontation in Nationals in season two. And then that's fine. No, you arrest Rachel Barrett. That's what you do. And the same exact thing happened. So I was so confused. What was going on?
Yeah, I mean. It's a bizarre thing. I think there's a lot of sort of continuity issues, and we can dwell on those a lot. But I think off of what you were saying here regarding, sort of blackmailing or sort of planting drugs and everything, Jess, yours was the Shelby plot line, especially after the affair with Puck. I was like not sure who said that, and then I realized that was you. But
yeah, that was me. Sorry.
I
have a visceral reaction to that whole thing.
Right. So both you and Simone sort of thought that this was one of the low points of the season. And we've talked about it a lot on the show. But by the end of season three, what are your thoughts about it, Jess?
I still, like, it was so pointless.
Right.
I mean, they had this whole thing take place. And then, like Roxanne was saying, it just got dropped.
Well, I mean, let's look at the end of season three with all of, with Quinn and Puck. That has nothing to do with Shelby or anything that happened,
Yeah.
So they're sort of like brought it up, did the arc, and then kind of dropped it,
Yeah, like, I mean, they had that whole like conversation at sectionals or whatever, and then we never saw Shelby again. Like, nobody even ever mentioned Beth again. I mean, we don't even know if Shelby moved, if she stayed there, did they see Beth any, like, what, like, there was just no point to it whatsoever other than just creep us out and to make Quinn's character all crazy.
Right.
Because her character just went all over the place, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Simone, you agree with the Puck Shelby situation?
Oh, yeah, I couldn't stand that. Student relationship thing was a very good thing to show, really.
Why would you say that? Because it's sort of setting a wrong example.
Yeah,
I mean, the Puck Shelby thing, that's a good point that you made, Jess. Is she still around? Like, is she in Lima? Why wouldn't you think if she were that she would have been at graduation, maybe, So,
speaking of forgotten storylines, how about Ricky Martin being a teacher at the school
right?
that we never ever see? He's Ricky Martin. We're going to see him somewhere.
Right.
How about, wait, the most weird storyline that they just dropped, the whole how did Rachel get conceived situation? Because it started out with it was a donor, right? Or a surrogate mother, and then it turned into Idina Menzel giving up her baby and regretting it.
No,
they switched it from like a setup thing to an adoption type thing, or I'm just confused.
I don't think they really changed that. I think it was just that she wanted to do it for the money, so she agreed to do it and then didn't realize how hard it was going to be. And so after having like gotten pregnant with her egg, you know, and having a baby and then giving it up, she didn't think that that would be hard and that she would regret having to give the baby up.
Yeah, that's the feeling I got too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Don't be sorry.
Never mind.
So those are some interesting things about what we didn't love. You know, I don't know that there was a lot that I didn't love about this season. I didn't really have the same sort of emotional reactions that a lot of people did. I think if I had to pick one thing, it would be the Puck and Shelby situation, just to jump on that bandwagon for every reason that we've talked about. You know, yeah, exactly. Because it was just it seemed out of nowhere. The music that was involved with those characters on top of it was all terrible. So, you know, like, I'm a huge Lady Gaga fan, but the You and I mashup I really didn't like.
Yeah, that was bad.
Oh my
some
gosh.
People,
Andrew
yeah, some
loved
people,
that.
Yeah,
I
Andrew
listened to that song all the time.
Simone, did you like that song?
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
Okay,
maybe. I liked it better outside of the show. For some reason,
exactly.
That happens with Glee and music for me. I don't like it during the show, but I love it outside of the show.
Yeah, or vice versa. Sometimes I'll like it on the show, but not outside of it. Yeah. So another thing, Simone, that you didn't love was the Glee Project members, and I'm guessing how they didn't have any proper storylines. Is that what you were saying?
Rory is basically, I mean, not to sound mean to Damien, but he's been a bit of a waste of space, really.
No, for sure.
I love him, but he needed bigger storylines.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really, obviously, it's none of their faults by any means, but it almost raises the question that's like, what is even the point of not only having everybody sort of on the show if they don't have a purpose, but then having four people from the Glee Project on, where, in my opinion, and Simone, maybe you'll agree, the two that got the two episode arcs kind of had a bigger, sort of storyline than the two that won. You know, like, you look at Rory and Joe, and they're sort of just background characters that support others, and not even really Rory at all. He had no purpose at all. But you you look at Lindsay, who, or rather I should say Harmony, who was sort of, Harmony was maybe more flaky in that way. But, you know, especially Alex Newell, who played Unique, I thought that was a beautiful storyline that really kind of showcased a different part of Glee that we've never seen before. Simone, would you agree with that?
I think the runners-up got better roles than the winners.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, like, I love Damien and Samuel are both amazing. I just don't like that they didn't get any story.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, we were sort of mentioning on the last week's episode that, you know, how are we going to see them in next season? Are we going to see them at all now that we have another season of Glee Project coming up? So, yeah, I think the whole Glee Project thing should be handled a little bit better. And Simone, you also said that you didn't like Finchel. Do you want to explain that a little bit?
Okay. Finchel as a couple, I support them and I don't hate them. So anyone that likes Finn and Rachel, don't stab me.
right.
I don't like, they've kind of become a symbol of the inequality that Glee's problem is, with like the gay couples and no PDA and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting point.
Yeah.
I find them to be kind of boring, but I'm on board with it, you know. I like Finchel together, but it's kind of sad to see them break up. I hope that they find a way to make it happen next season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so great. We'll move on here to some of the things that we would have liked to change in season three. I asked everybody to pick one thing that they could change about season three, and one kind of stuck out to me. Roxanne, you said that you wish that Kurt would have gotten into Niada.
Yes, I'm back.
Yeah.
Sorry. I kind of went on a rant about it last.
Treat it, sister.
last episode, and I still stand by everything I said. I think Kurt should have had his happy ending.
Agreed.
And do you think that that he should have had it instead of Rachel, or could they have both had it?
Nope.
I think Kurt should have gotten it instead of Rachel. Agreed. I really think that. Yeah.
But my question is, why did it have to be instead of Rachel? Like, why couldn't it just have been, like, both of them, or...
Because Rachel's audition was terrible.
Yeah, it's like she broke the rules.
Yeah.
She broke the rules so she could get what she wanted. I just didn't like the way... I feel like Rachel's character always ends up somehow getting what she wants. And I don't like that. If I see anybody in life, this is going to sound really bratty, that has everything, I'm kind of like, oh, they're off-putting to me.
Okay. That's interesting.
I just don't like that she gets everything.
Roxanne doesn't want anybody to be happy, but I understand how she feels.
Clearly that's what we're gathering from this.
No, I don't know. I don't think that Rachel gets everything. Like, I mean, she has ended up with everything. Well, actually, not really, because then Finn broke up with her. But at the beginning of the series, she was total underdog. Like, she totally got made fun of. Like, somebody mentioned it in one of the comments on Hypeable. Like, you know, she was making those videos, the video blogs and stuff of her singing. And people, like Quinn and the girls, the Cheerios, were writing things like, go kill yourself. And, you know, like, she was... not cool. She was definitely. She was definitely bullied and stuff. And
I read that too, and I agree with that. Season one, Rachel, but season three, Rachel. Just I feel like everything's handed her on the silver platter.
Well,
and
she even had her inner dialogue moment where she said, "Here I am. I'm leaving high school, and I have gotten everything that I've ever wanted."
Everything that I've ever wanted, and I'm like, "Oh, well, you're so off-putting when you have that."
It's, yeah. Right. I think I can see where you're.
I just think that it just hit me the wrong way when we've been met to feel hurt, and we don't get to see him succeed. It just is really saddening for me.
Like, I totally root for Kurt and have the whole time. Like, I love him. Mm-hmm. He's my second favorite character on the show. But I've also rooted for Rachel the whole time. She is my favorite character on the show. I love her. And yeah, she can be obnoxious and she can be a little know-it-all, whatever, and
she can
doesn't always go about things the right way. But at her heart, she really is, and like she wants to do the right thing and she wants all these things. Just sometimes her passion and tenacity gets in the way of her being able to see what the right thing is.
I agree with Jess on this one. I'm on that boat. But, you know, Simone, you also had one thing that you would have changed was that you would have hoped that Kurt got Tony or was the senior class president or that he got into NIADA. So if you had to pick one, Simone, you know, you only get one chance here to change the history of Glee. What would it be?
I'd want him to have at least one victory, anything. Like,
right.
Thank you, Simone.
me and Roxanne are one on this, like, totally.
I don't... Where have I been? I've been rooting for you, Roxanne, this whole time. And you haven't even acknowledged me.
No, Cody, I agree with you. And I agree with Simone, too. Uh-huh. Is that she just listed what were all the ones that you said?
Yeah,
Tony.
He didn't get Tony. He didn't get senior class president. He didn't get into NIADA.
Yeah, come on. Really? You're going to do Kurt wrong like that?
It's interesting that you brought that up because somebody else commented somewhere on Hypeable or on Twitter that, you know, everybody's talking about Rachel's poor audition, which it was. She totally choked. But she also had this amazing resume that she handed it, like, list of accomplishments. And poor Kurt, he didn't get any of this stuff. And so he really didn't have other than, hey, I sang in the background of the Glee Choir and got a solo here and there. But
and what was Rachel's amazing resume?
He won the Cheerios Nationals with that 15 minutes playing Beyond thing.
Well, she had, like, every solo from Glee, like, at all the different competitions and stuff, and she got the lead role in the musical, and I don't remember.
That's an outstanding resume.
Shelby looked at it and said other stuff, and I'm sure there were other things. I can't remember. Shelby listed a whole bunch of stuff and said that she thought it looked impressive.
Simone, how do you feel about the Rachel versus Kurt thing?
Yeah.
If anyone was on the Glee live chat while we were watching the episode, I was close to, like, chucking the keyboard somewhere. I was writing so much.
Yeah. Simone's very active in the live chat, but yeah, I mean, that's a good point, you know, just what you were saying about the commenter, because, you know, he didn't get those lead roles or he mm-hmm. didn't get the senior class president. So that might be, you know, that's a good argument to make that could be part of it, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, who knows? Who knows if we'll ever figure that out or not? But, Cody, you had an interesting thing that you would have changed. You said that Blaine would have stayed at Dalton, where he damned well belonged.
And that's really all I have to say about it.
Okay. Very good.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would have
not because I love the Warblers, but because life would have just been better for me.
Okay. So you're not a huge Warblers fan. You're just saying you would have liked less Blaine this episode.
I mean, the Warblers are good, and I like it when they sing, but I'm not like, I can't wait for the Warblers to come back.
I think Kurt should have stayed at Dalton.
Why?
Because Dalton's a, you know, a preppier school. He had Blaine. He could have made a big impact. I feel like he could have moved up in the Warblers. Maybe him going back to McKinley wasn't the greatest thing for him. I'm sure that if you apply to college, a nice, fancy, private prep school looks better than a public school.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, Kurt could have stayed at Dalton.
Maybe he would have gotten into NIADA if he would have stayed at Dalton, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Maybe Kurt would have made a bigger impact at Dalton than he could going back to McKinley and being in the background.
Right, would ambition been NIADA? Because I feel like a lot of that specific college, at least, stemmed off of Rachel, not even just his career path in the future, you know, to go into musicals. What do you guys think?
That's another question. I mean, it's one of those who knows, but yeah, I think that he and Rachel would have stayed close friends and would have kept NIADA a prime focus. At least that's what I think.
Yeah, they still had their date nights. Like, remember there was the episode where, like, Mercedes, Rachel, and Kurt were watching, like, the knockoff of Twilight in Rachel's bedroom, right? They still had those girl nights. They still hung out enough.
Yeah, they wouldn't be far enough away. I mean, we saw it work with Kurt and Blaine when Blaine was at Dalton, you know,
to have like a relationship. The real Dalton Academy is really far away from McKinley. Like,
yeah, it's hard to say. It's hard to say because the reality is different from what they projected on the show. But
yeah, right. Because there are not that many gay kids in Lima, Ohio. I think that's the real thing here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Dalton, just like McKinley, isn't a real place, right? As far as I remember, it's not. Roxanne, I'm sure fans.
I feel like you would know on this.
Dalton Academy isn't real, right? We know that.
No, I don't think so. No, it's not real.
I feel like fans would have, like, you know, went and enrolled in it or something.
Although Dalton is a really good fan fiction read.
Yeah.
You've mentioned that before.
Yeah, Dalton's good. Another good fan fiction. I don't know why I'm talking about this right now. You probably don't even care. If I Die Young by the author, I think it's Blow the Candles Out on fanfiction.net. It is a damn good read. If you're looking forward and you want some fan fiction, If I Die Young by, I think it's, yeah, Blow the Candles Out.
I think you mean D-A double humpback. We have to
what?
I don't know. I was trying to censor myself like Mitch, but it didn't work. It didn't make
it. It's a good story. It's a crier too. Oh, it's so good. Anyway, sorry.
No, that's good. Okay, so Jessica, you said no sugar. You did not want sugar to be on this. If there were one thing you could change, it would be sugar. And you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
She was annoying and served no purpose. Like, literally, the only purpose she served on the show was to create the trouble tones, which just perpetrated that whole stupid Shelby plot that I hated.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, it just drove me crazy because her character, like, they made this huge deal about how she couldn't sing.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, she's in the Glee Club, and it's fine. And then she's just there, and she's just as annoying.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. Because, you know, Will Schuster specifically said, you're not good enough to be in this Glee Club, blah, blah, blah. And then they sing We Are Young, and everybody's jumping around on the stage. And then from there on out, Sugar's just randomly in new directions, and nobody ever mentions it.
Yeah, it's just bizarre.
It's really bizarre.
Maybe she got, like, singing lessons.
She even made that comment, like, in the one of the later episodes, was like, I can't even sing.
I'm sure
you could. At least you acknowledged that you couldn't sing.
There's some bad singers who could probably be good if they tried.
Yeah, I mean, Brittany's not like a great, fantastic singer, and she's just as part of much a part of New Directions. Mitch says, more Quinn solos.
Yeah, hello. I know everyone, this is literally just a little tiny personal complaint. It wouldn't even affect the show for anyone else but me. But I just love Quinn to death. And yeah. Like I was saying, like, it would have been a perfect time to give her a solo on her comeback from her car thing. I mean, she got ahead with Artie, so I'll take that. But I feel like the only real solo I got from her was Never Can Say Goodbye, and I ate that song right up.
Yeah, I love that one.
The song that she sang when she was doing her cheerleading routine, what was it? It was like You Keep Me Holding On one. That song was awesome. You want to know why I know it was awesome? Because I was watching the 2008, 9, 10, I'm not sure what year we were in, watching the Olympics. They were doing ice skating, and then a commercial came on, and that song came on, her version of it. And my heart melted. That's the moment I knew that she was special enough to be on national television at the most attended sports event, ever. So. Yeah. If she's that respected, come on, use her while you have her. Now she's gone, and I am never going to get her back. Well, maybe, but
right, maybe we will. Yeah. So you're a big Diana Agron fan.
Big Diana Agron fan. Absolutely.
Very good. I think if I had to change one thing, it would be that Anne Hathaway should have been on this season. There were all these rumblings way back at the beginning.
Oh yeah.
At the beginning of season three, that Anne Hathaway sort of approached Ryan Murphy and said, oh, I'd love to be on Glee. And he said, yeah, let's put you on Glee. And there were even some, you know, she had even made some statements and some quotes about it. And then we never did see her appear on the show. And I always had this thought in my head, or maybe she even mentioned this. I think she did say this, that she would like to play Kurt's like gay aunt or something like that. And I thought that would have been a really great storyline. And looking back, I don't really see that it would really fit in with the scheme of things, but Anne Hathaway is great. She's obviously been very busy working. She just did The Dark Knight Rises, and she's doing Les Mis, the movie.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, so she's obviously really busy, but hopefully they're still going to have those conversations for season four, because I would really love to see her on Glee singing her face off and being amazing.
John, do you like her voice in Les Mis' trailer? Because I don't like it in that. I don't like it in her cover of Somebody to Love that she has out. She's singing Ella Enchanted.
I love that song.
Yeah. Simone loves that one.
Oh, you love it? Something I do not like her voice. I think she has this weird fake rubato to it. Kind of like Amanda Seyfried, who's also in Les Mis. They both kind of sing like, it's just airy and forced. I do not like it. And I don't want her on
it
anymore, John.
Like,
yeah, I haven't seen it to judge it either. So, Simone, have you seen it?
What?
Go ahead, Simone.
I was going to say, she's going to come on in season four and tell Kurt that he's the Prince of Genovia.
Yeah, that'd be cute.
Princess Diaries.
That would be great. Okay, so speaking of performances and music, I also asked everybody to write down what their favorite performance / song of season three is. And Simone, you have a tie between Rumor Has It and Cough Syrup. So unfortunately, on Glee Chat, you only get to pick one. So you're now going to be put on the spot. What is your favorite song from Glee Season 3? Is it Rumor Has It or Cough Syrup, and why?
I'm going to copy this and say Cough Syrup.
Yeah, I think I like that one too the best. Yeah, what did you like about it? Did you hear the song before you saw it on the show?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and so did you think that seeing it sort of play out in the scene was more dramatic, and did it make you like the song more? Because Cough Syrup is also my favorite song from the season, and I loved it and could not stop singing it at like the whole weekend before the show aired.
That's just
and
so
then
depressing.
And then when the scene aired, I loved it like 1,000 times more. Did you have that same reaction?
Yeah, there are some songs on Glee that sound a lot better with the performance with them for some reason.
Right.
That's one of them for me as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Roxanne has an interesting one, Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, which is probably my least favorite of the season. Roxanne,
really?
why did you like that one in particular?
I just cannot stop listening to the Kurt and Rachel Ding Dong, which is that the harmonies are so good. I like how it's all like Spanishy kind of jazzy music in the background. The performance is adorable. And I like when Glee does more of the, instead of the poppy kind of covers, I like the more stagey kind of theater covers. And this actually felt like they were choir kids in a choir. You know, they were playing the track on her little music CD player. It just seems so high school and so natural, as opposed to something like Hungry Like the Wolf or like those.
Yeah,
really
yeah.
And well, this... can I just say I also liked Uptown Girls.
Yeah, you did like Uptown Girls. Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead was actually an original arrangement with Barbara Streisand and Harold Arlen. And if you like YouTube it, you can hear the original arrangement that they sang, and it's pulling from that, and it's an interesting. I love when Rachel sings anything with Barbara Streisand. Like, I'm thinking back to
Don't Rain on My Parade is my favorite Rachel.
Don't Rain on My Parade was amazing.
My Man. Sing. Oh.
My Man is a good one. Also,
love that one.
Papa, Can You Hear Me was
amazing.
Oh my
god, John. That yeah. song.
I'm pretty sure Barbara Streisand sang that, because that was from the movie that she was in that I'm forgetting
yeah.
the name of right
Yentl.
Now. Yes, Yentl, exactly. Okay, so let's see. Roxanne liked that song. What did you like about Uptown Girls, Roxanne? Was it Kurt Mega?
Kurt Mega had a part of it, but I just loved that we were back in Dalton and the Warblers were still good without Blaine, and they were doing their choreography footstep work. It was just mm-hmm. so... I just love Uptown Girls. I love the accent they sing that song in, trying to copy... Is it
right.
It's Billy Joel, right? Yeah. Trying to copy the whole... I just love the twang. Like, when Kurt Mega says white bread, it just does something to me.
Very good. Jess, I just saw here on the list, too, that cough syrup was yours. I didn't mean to leave
yeah,
you out of that.
That's okay.
Sorry about that. I didn't get to the bottom.
So,
I had
so unoriginal. I'm really bad about, like, remembering all the songs that have been done. I'm sure if I were to look at a list, I'd be like, oh, my God, I love this song. I love this song. But that's, like... the one that I remember off the top of my head.
Oh my god, I love this song. I love this song. Would you say it?
Probably.
Like that?
Pretty much. Or it might be a little higher and squealier.
Yeah, exactly. Cody, one of your favorites was Lindsay Pierce's version of Anything Goes / Anything You Can Do. And this was a hard one for me, because that song was the first song I listened to from Glee season 3, and I couldn't stop listening to it. So this was a very close runner up for me. But what did you like about it?
It is just every note she hits in that song is brilliant. And I know I've said before that I'm not really upset that Lindsay Pierce isn't coming back, and that's true, but this was definitely my favorite song from the whole season, besides Let It Snow, because that one was really good too.
Well, you had mentioned also that you love the Christmas episode this
season.
Yeah,
the Christmas episode was one of my favorite things from the season. But Let It Snow was a really fun song, too. I listen to Anything Goes, like, constantly. It's embarrassing,
me too.
Really.
You know, I look
it's
back...
It's, like, my most played song.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I look back at the music I've listened to the most, and Anything Goes, Anything You Can Do is definitely, like, one of the top three for me. Yeah. So, very good. Mitch, your favorite was A Boy Like That from West Side Story that Santana and Rachel sang.
Oh my god. I'm just telling you that Lea Michele is my favorite Maria I've seen ever. And I just need to see her like, in a full production of it, because my heart just melts. And yeah, I mean, I know you know I love Santana's voice from my other talk about Smooth Criminal, but wow, just a mix of those two girls together. You don't get that very often, especially in the context of the Broadway show, singing such an amazing song. They couldn't have made it any better. That's the one song that I think I've listened to, like you were saying, the most on my iTunes. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I go again. I sing along. I was singing to Roxanne. I sing up in those high soprano notes. I won't do it in the recording, but I can do them, Roxanne.
Okay.
Oh, yes. I'll attest to Mitch's awesomeness.
Very good.
I want
to
break
your eardrums. We need to do a musical episode where we sing the whole episode some way. We've talked about that before, but... we need to hear some of our performing voices. So now let's talk about some of the Glee Chat Twitter followers' reaction to the entire season. And so basically I tweeted out, if you're following us on Twitter, it's @Glee_chat. And I asked everybody to, in one tweet, send us your reaction about season 3, and I would read it on air. So here are what some of the Glee Chat Twitter followers had to say. Dylan_May says, the second half of the season was much better. However, I was hoping for a Puck Kurt Broment scene. And Cody, you agreed with this.
Yeah, it was something I really hadn't thought about before, the Puck Kurt relationship.
Uh-huh.
But I think that would be a really interesting thing to see, especially because I don't know, the body switch episode made me like, I really enjoyed Puck as Blaine.
Yeah.
So seeing Puck as Kurt, sorry, that would have been that would have been my dream casting. But,
yeah. Well, we saw. I think it'd be interesting. We saw Finn and Kurt, Finn and Puck playing Kurt and Blaine, obviously, in that episode. And I think that was one of the moments where I was like, oh, these two are cute together. I wish there was sort of like this gay understory or something with them.
There is. It's Lima, Ohio.
Yeah, exactly. There's something there. Twitter user Cloned Memory says, good in theory, hit and miss in execution, incredible performances. M.W. Dickin 2013 says, I wanted to see more of Rick the Stick. Shout out to Megan Stoll, who got me to love him. Hashtag Rick the Stick. I don't think Megan would be happy to hear that, but I'm sure.
No.
She'll be laughing. Twitter user Billiam Anderson says, best music of all three seasons, worst continuity, why not Kurt? Some side stories were perfect. Jeff Goldblum as Rachel's dad equals win. And yeah, that was one thing maybe you didn't talk much about. I really like Jeff Goldblum and Rachel's dads this season. What were your thoughts on Jeff Goldblum?
Oh my goodness, I loved him.
Loved him.
Like, so the, I love both of the dads, both like their chemistry with one another and with Rachel was just priceless. Yeah, it was spot on. One of my really good friends who loves Glee was talking to me about it this past weekend and was saying how he wished that they had had her dads on the season finale.
It was me.
It was not you. She had talked about them in the car. Because Finn was saying your dads are going to meet you in New York City, so it's a perfect opportunity to have them receive Rachel as she just walks around with her bright pink suitcase in New York City.
She was lost. I'm telling you, she didn't have a map.
She didn't have a map. Maybe she had an iPhone app or something.
I think she was thinking because she was scared and she was lost.
Okay, so let's see here. Simone, what did you think about Jeff Goldblum and Rachel's dads? Did you like them?
I loved them. They were hilarious.
Yeah, they were hilarious. We loved them too. Jenny, Twitter user Jenny Wiggin says, perfectly cheesy with the right amount of reality, but enough predictability to blah, blah. Let me redo this.
Hufflepuff is the.
I think I just had a stroke.
Jenny Wiggin, Cal State Fullerton. What? Woo.
Jenny Wiggin says, perfectly cheesy with the right amount of reality, but enough predictability to where it still felt like the Glee I love. I like that. I think that sums up my thoughts about it too. Alyssa Keel, I think that's how you say it, Alyssa Keel says, too many Blaine solos. Cody, you'll
Thank
love this.
Thank you. Preach it, sister.
Karofsky disappears after important plot. Rachel Berry's dreams come true, much better than second season. And we see here final_freedom says, it was an inconsistent disappointment. There were a few shining moments, but the show has become very laughable and not in a good way. Okay, so maybe we have both ends of the spectrum here. Ashley Alexa 19 also says this, saying, very lackluster, frown face. Going off of what Alyssa said here, Alyssa Keel, Twitter user, says, much better than the second season. How would you guys rank season 3 in order from favorite to least favorite? Now that we've seen seasons 1, seasons 2, and seasons 1, 2, and 3, I think for me I would go – this is hard because I really like all of them for different reasons. I would say probably for me it would go 3-2-1.
Press.
Cody, do you? Yeah, press, exactly.
Is that favorite to least favorite?
Yeah, favorite to least favorite. So for me, season 3 is my favorite, 2 second, and then 1. But then it's like, oh, I don't know, because 1 had like really amazing storylines. But Jess, what were your favorite from favorite to least? Okay.
Definitely 1 is my favorite.
Okay.
And then, I don't know.
I know. Isn't this hard? I put this into the dock today, and then like I was driving to go play tennis, and I was like, I really don't know if I'm going to be able to answer this on the show. Because it's just hard. Go ahead.
I'll go 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. Interesting. So opposite of mine.
Yeah.
Okay, Cody, what about you?
1, 3, 2.
Okay.
In order from favorite to least favorite.
Simone, what about you?
Okay.
1, 2, 3 as well for me.
Interesting. Mitch?
1, 2, 3 all the way.
Okay. Roxanne?
Okay. 2, 1, 3 with explanation.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because I have to justify, because season 1 was by far the best season. Although I was on at the same time and the same day that Lost was on, so I kind of put it on the back burner, and I wasn't as invested at the time. So, like, one, I was like, oh, I have to watch it after Lost, and I was so into Lost, and I was like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, that was a really hard thing for us Lost fans to have to deal with Glee being on at the same time.
Yes,
so,
it was.
That's why we have DVR. Yeah, yes. Exactly.
But everyone says they don't like season two. I love season two.
I love season two as well. Okay. I don't know.
Too many guest stars.
But I don't think that they were guest stars that really took away from anything. Simone, do you like season two as well?
I love season two. I think most people do. A lot of people hate on it.
Yeah, people do hate on it.
I think with season two, I think, was that they were trying to market it too much toward the popularity, because it was so popular, and it felt like they were really riding for that, like, with the music and stuff, like, it was all pop music. And
so you didn't enjoy that, though?
No, I mean, I just really enjoyed it when season three kind of went back to its roots, and they did more Broadway stuff, and it was, I don't know, I really liked the, I really like seasons three and one, and season two was good for me, but that season two was especially where I was just kind of like,
Here's my thing. Like, season one as a whole, like, I loved that season. There were very few episodes that I just didn't like.
Yeah.
Seasons two and three both have episodes that I absolutely adore and episodes that I loathe.
Spanish teacher, anybody?
Yeah.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Hey, Ricky Martin. Come on.
Listen, I love Ricky Martin more than people would probably even realize. I've never really talked about it, but I think he's an amazing person and human. But that episode was like, what? Yeah. Like, the worst. I think one of the worst.
It really was. It was awful.
But I think season three will be a great season to look back on, you know, and here's the other thing. We're also sort of saying this, looking back at those seasons, you know, like I remember being in season one and loving every single episode so much. I still have that feeling with Glee, but like, you know, when you're in the season, I think that you might have a different perspective than maybe looking at it retrospectively, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe that has something to do with what we're talking about here, but yeah, I think Glee season three will be looked back, you know, retrospectively as a great season. I think storylines alone, I think it's one of the better ones of the three, but that's just my thought. But anyways, okay, so moving on here, we're sort of wrapping up the show now. The Glee Project is going to be returning next week, and we still haven't figured out who's going to be doing those shows. We need to do that, because it's on, I think, at like 10 p.m. on Tuesdays or something like that. So we're going to be rehashing every one of the episodes this summer, so in case you haven't heard in some of the previous episodes of Glee Chat, we fully intend to rehash the Glee Project and have new episodes every week that the Glee Project is on. And we're going to have maybe some somewhat abbreviated episodes when we rehash the show. Obviously, there won't be nearly as much detail to talk about as a Glee episode, but... so yeah, you can expect to hear some of us. And yeah, so that's it for episode 33. If you have any comments, particularly about how you would rank the three seasons of Glee so far, leave them in the comments below on hypeable.com. And let us know also why you think each season is better or worse than the other. I thought everybody would say season three was their favorite, so I'm surprised to hear that it went the other way for most everyone. Yeah, maybe. Okay, and we'd also like to thank very much our special guest, Simone. Let's give her a round of applause, everybody.
Thank you.
You're so pretty.
And Simone, if you want to come back on the show this summer to do an episode about the Glee Project, you're more than welcome. So just let us know when you want to be on and you can just jump on.
Sure.
All right. Thank you very much, Simone. And that's it for episode 33. So Simone and everybody else, let's say goodbye. Adios.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.